I'm so scared of like fighting. I'm so scared of like arguing that I would almost rather the friendship end than have to like deal with my own feelings.
It's Hannah, and I am back for my first solo episode. So yeah, welcome back to Pukui Pod, where we talk about dating and relationships, growing up Asian American, and what it's like being in our mid-20s.
Yeah, before we get into today's topic, I wanted to do a little bit of a haul. So this is a new segment, and we're gonna call it Things I've Been Hyperfixated On. In the spirit of hyperfixation, I've been hella hyperfixated. This is a food item on cottage cheese. If you guys don't already know, I literally will eat shredded cheese out of the bag. So is it a surprise that I bought this yesterday and it's almost empty? Not at all. This is the Good Culture double cream classic cottage cheese. To be honest, I wanted just like their normal version, but it was sold out. But I got the double cream and it's so good. It has 14 grams of protein per serving, and you know that I'm a gym girly, and so what have I been doing? I've literally just been like drizzling honey into the container. But actually my roommate Ali was like, wait, like, can I have some cottage cheese? I need to try this thing I saw on TikTok. And so basically it's toast, so my favorite is sourdough, duh, toast it, put some cottage cheese on there, and then chili oil. My chili oil of choice is Boone. I love Boone so much. It's definitely spicy, but I think that the flavor is just like not overpowering. And then I pair that to kind of offset it with honey, so a little bit sweet. And so shout out to Ali, shout out to that TikTok for sharing that, because I had that this morning and started out the day very well. Also, guys, check out my freaking tan line. I'm not wearing two t-shirts. It's just that I got burnt. I'm sure you guys know via Instagram that I went to Coachella, literally had the time of my life, didn't get burnt at all. Put on sunscreen every single day, reapplied every single day. We're good in the hood. I had such a nice tan. And then I went to a church like football tournament for the guys. I was just watching and got so burnt. Got incredibly burnt, as did everyone. And so yeah, just kind of been struggling with that because I don't really know what to wear right now, because like, look at how embarrassing. But yeah, in the spirit of just t-shirt tans, this one I am so excited about. If you guys haven't already seen the viral TikToks, Extreme Arts and Crafts, they have a bunch of like just like funny t-shirts, and I have been on the hunt for a 5XL t-shirt because duh. And they had them in stock. So thank you to the owner, creator, founder, designer, Grant, for sending this through. Cause okay, wait, should I change into it? Okay, hold on. Let me back up for y'all. I'll insert a photo, because this has been my favorite t-shirt to sleep in and just to walk around my apartment in, and my apartment mates just give me weird looks all the freaking time. They're like, you look ridiculous. Okay, we are back. And I saved the best for last. So when I was at the football tournament, I get a call from my sister, and she's like in New York. And so I was like, why is she calling me? She calls me. I was like, are you gonna get the Sandy Liang collab for me? But no, line was too long. It was just, yeah, too much. And she goes, I'm at Omer, Frank Ocean's jewelry store. And she's like, yeah, I'm here. Do you want this ring? Sends it to me. And I was like, oh shoot, this is such an impulsive like buy. I don't know. She's like, I'll buy it for you. I spend my first paycheck on you. And I was like, oh, so nice. And so I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, yeah. I think I want the ring. And she's like, okay, I'll get it for you. And so this is a very special unboxing because Frank Ocean, my sister, two of my favorite things. Wait, also, it's so heavy. Like, this is heavier than my cottage cheese. Oh, cute. Okay. I don't know if it's Omer or if it's Homer. I don't know. Someone, let me know in the comments. Why isn't it opening? It's a twist off. That's so pretty. That is so pretty. Oh my gosh. Hold on. I'm so excited. You know that I'm a silver girly because if you guys saw my Instagram story, Shirley Classified Closet is a gold girly and I am a silver girly through and through. I have been. Oh my gosh, how cute. And it goes perfectly with all my other rings. And that is kind of it for the little haul. So this has been things I've been hyperfixated on. Hannah's hyperfixation corner, maybe. Well, we'll decide on a name together. Getting into the episode a little bit. What have I been thinking about? It's been a few years since I've graduated college. And admittedly, I wasn't the most mature person in college. Like, I think, like, right? Like, everyone is growing into themselves. Like, you gossip, you have beef with people, like, whatever. But through high school, college, honestly, through my entire life, I have been non-confrontational. When I say that, like, conflict and confrontation makes me uncomfortable, I literally, like, shrivel up. To the point where, like, my friends will, like, jokingly fight with their boyfriends in front of me because they know I'm, like, I will literally leave. I will get up and leave and, like, go into my room. Or, like, I will get up and leave and, like, you know, walk to the other side of the bar. And they think it's hilarious, but I am incredibly uncomfortable. And so when it comes to friendships, if I, like, feel like there's something up or there's something wrong, I never confront them. This is something that's been coming up in maybe not so great ways because, like, think about it. If you are getting negative feelings towards your friend or you're getting negative feelings from your friend and you don't address it, that goes somewhere, right? And so for me, I think this is the first time in my life that I've been feeling angry. Like, I'm a pretty chill person. Like, of course, like, I am a little bit unstable, like, I have my ups and downs, but for the most part, like, right, I get a parking ticket, I'm like, frick, that sucks, don't dwell on it, I'm like, okay, we move on, we pay it, move on. But when it comes to, like, personal relationships, when it comes to friendships especially, I feel like I have to, like, maintain the friendship, and so there can never be conflict. Because, you know, when I look at my, like, past friendship history, it's very, like, if we get into one fight, the friendship is over. Like, I have had multiple situations where it's like, oh, you did me dirty, aka, like, my best friend in middle school, like, literally broke up me and my boyfriend. And I cut her off and friendship was done. And then another time, like, I was getting annoyed of a friend and we were spending way too much time together and I just felt like she was stealing the attention away from me and I was like, I'm done, I'm over it. And, like, literally we stopped being friends for years. And then, like, even more recently, this was like 4 years ago, there was somebody in my life who I traveled with and they were just a miserable time and I cut it off, never spoke to her again. And so, right, I come from a history, I come from a background of not wanting to confront the person and, like, fix the relationship. And so it just fizzles out. It just ends. I can't, like, necessarily say, like, I have bad blood with any of those past people, but it's definitely like, oh, like, there was a lot of hurt, you know, from both ends, whatever the reasons may be. And so, you know, in terms of confrontation, I don't think that, like, I come from a place of, like, I wasn't willing to, like, work through this, you know, part of our relationship. And so the friendship ended. I think it's more so, like, I'm so scared of, like, fighting. I'm so scared of, like, arguing that I just choose, I would almost rather the friendship end than have to, like, deal with my own feelings. And so I think in terms of confrontation, like, over the past, like, year or so, I've really been trying to practice speaking my mind. Because one thing I heard from, like, a podcast I listened to months ago was that, like, people pleasing builds resentment. And if you know me, I'm a people pleaser, right? We've talked about the type of personalities you are. And so for one of the tests, I'm a like me. I absolutely have always been a like me. Like, I need people to enjoy my presence and like give me affirmation that like, oh, you're a cool person, oh, you're an interesting person, like, oh, I would love to hang out with you again. Otherwise, I have like, I kind of have a freak out. I remember I was getting like weird vibes from someone like that was a friend of a friend. And like, I literally spent the entire like time we were hanging out trying to get them to like me, and felt like so defeated at the end of the day when I was like, this girl is never gonna like me. Like, our personalities just simply don't mesh. And so I think when I think about that statement of people pleasing leads to resentment, it's also in combination with the fact that like, I will kind of cross my own boundaries in order to get people to like affirm me. And at the end of the day, I'm like so exhausted, like so tired, because maybe the person I was presenting as like wasn't who I actually am. And like, right, in terms of people pleasing as well, I think it comes, let's dig deep into like where this stems from. Definitely my parents, and to no fault of their own, it's something I put on myself, right? Because when I was in first grade, I remember taking a GATE test, right? The gifted and talented education test. And I like passed with flying colors. Like, it was like, it just came very naturally to me. And seeing the joy that it brought them, that I was like special, that I was like chosen to be in this very prestigious program, I think was kind of the first time that I connected acceptance with like my capabilities, right? And so that was kind of the start of it. And, you know, as I went through elementary school, like, I remember my mom was like, dude, Hannah, like, you can, like, this is really intense, right? Like, you can, like, you should hang out with your friends. Like, yes, you need to get good grades, but like, you should go out. And I would straight up refuse. I'd be like, no, I have to study. And so I think that seeing how much validation and how happy it made my parents that first time, I think I like really carried that with me, and I still carry that with me, because as we transition from school into careers, I think that one of the main things that me and my like parents kind of disagree on is like how I'm going about my career. And it's been really hard because the people pleaser in me, of course, like wants to fulfill their expectations that, you know, I have a thriving career, that I climb the corporate ladder. But then I think over the years, my expectations of myself and like what I want have changed into, no, I think I want to do something a little bit more traditional. Like, it might be harder. Yeah. It might like take a lot out of me to kind of grind in like the creative world and whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, I need to do what I think is best for me. And to be honest, I don't learn from like my parents giving advice for me. I learn from like making my own mistakes. And so, you know, I think like communicating that to them and like slowly getting them to realize that their wants are not necessarily my wants has been a huge game changer in our relationship. Because, right, for a long time, I think my parents were convinced that what they wanted was what I wanted. What I wanted was what they wanted, right? I do think like there is always going to be a sense of like, I want to make my parents happy, right? Like, I don't want to not make my parents happy. Like, I am Asian American. Their happiness is my happiness. Like, my happiness is their happiness. And so it is very overlapped and it can be very confusing. But I think throughout the pandemic, I had so many conversations with my dad about how, like, it was literally out of the movies. Like, this isn't my dream, Dad. It's yours. It was literally like that. And so I think as somebody who maybe didn't grow up with like the best communication style and whatnot, it has been very difficult to have those conversations. And like, it's conversations multiple, not one or two. And so just like staying persistent has been very good. And, you know, I recognize that I am lucky and I am blessed. Like, I'm so incredibly blessed to have parents who are willing to listen and really like try to understand. And I think at this point in our relationship, like, they do understand where I'm coming from. And on both ends, mine and theirs, we've come to this agreement that, like, I am going to live my life how I want. They have to let me make my own mistakes and whatnot. And so, you know, with the people pleasing, I think, at least with my parents, it's been hard, but it's been very rewarding to be accepting that I'm not going to make everyone happy. Like, I think that perspective shift has been the number one way that I've been able to, like, kind of reframe this quote, like, disappoint, like, I'm a disappointment to my parents, into we see things differently, right? And nobody's wrong. It's just simply our own opinions. And so when it comes to our parents, like, I think with the people pleasing, like, there comes a point where you just have to accept it. And then, you know, actually, like, processing this out loud with you guys, I'm realizing, like, oh, wow, maybe this is how I need to approach my friendships as well. Because I've accepted now that, like, I am going to disappoint my parents here and there. They're not going to understand here and there. When it comes to friends, I never want to push buttons. I never want to overstep or, like, honestly speak my mind if I feel like their feelings are going to get hurt. But, like, I do think it could be healthier and honestly just better for me in the long run if I speak my mind and my truth to them, so I don't hold it in as resentment. Because, right, if I bottle things up, I'm very good at bottling things up, and I will explode. Like, I think my breakdowns are bigger than my friends, because It's like the earthquake stuff, right? Like, everyone's, like, freaking out about the big one in California because we haven't had it, but they're like, oh, the small ones are good. Same concept, same idea. If I have, like, little moments of, like, oh, like, let me point this out. Like, oh, I feel like this right now. When you say that to me, I think that it would be better in the long run, and it would ensure that I don't explode. And, right, those huge friendship fallouts, I think that they would be less likely to happen. It's really hard, but practicing not people pleasing is going to be, like, helpful. And, you know, I'm trying to think, like, how I have been implementing this. And this is so dumb, but you could start here. I have always been the friend to plan, right? But then I never choose restaurants, because if it's bad, I always blamed myself. I never made decisions in groups because I wanted to make sure that everyone was satisfied. But I think, like, understanding that sometimes it's okay to be a little selfish. Sometimes it's okay to recommend a restaurant that, or, like, a food group that I want to eat is okay. Like, we're all gonna kind of, like, take turns when it comes to that stuff. Like, I'm not gonna be satisfied with every meal that my friends suggest, and they're not gonna be satisfied with every meal that I suggest, but there has to be, like, a give and a take. I think it really started with that. Like, literally voicing my opinion. Like, do you want boba or ice cream? I want boba today. Being decisive, I think, has helped a lot with my people pleasing. And then how else have I been working on this? I think that pointing things out in the moment, as hard as it might be, and don't do this embarrassingly, right? Like, they say, like, don't correct in public. Frick, I don't remember what the saying is, but, like, don't make it embarrassing for that person. Of, like, okay, let's say Sally is someone who always interrupts you in conversations, and you're in a group of, like, 5-6 people, and Sally interrupts you in conversation, and then you go, you see, this is, you know, I'm sick of you interrupting me in conversation. I don't think that's the right way to go. But if you and Sally are having a one-on-one and she interrupts you, I think you can gently be like, hi, like, you know, just something that, like, I've noticed recently is that, like, I feel like I am not able to, like, finish my story or, you know, like, speak my mind because, like, I feel as though, like, the conversation is being interrupted. Would you mind not doing that? I think doing that in private, in a one-on-one setting, or even pulling them aside after the group hangout and just being like, hey, like, something that's been on my mind, in order to prevent the resentment, right? Because you could totally see the next time, if you don't point that out, it, like, really getting to you. And that's, for me, when the anger builds, when the resentment builds. And so making sure to do things gently. I'm, like, queen of doing things, like, maybe too gently, but I would rather err on that side than the aggressive side. But then also remembering that it does nobody well when you beat around the bush and aren't direct, because why are you not being clear, right? Like, I think communication is difficult as it is, and so trying to find a way to get to your point, state your facts. Like, if you're a data person, like, if you need to write things out, like, do that. Like, you know yourself at this point, or maybe you need to figure it out, but like, making sure that the other person isn't confused, right? Because like, is there a point if you're not able to get your point across? So I think that is something I've been working on, is like being more direct. And also, I think just reminding yourself that like, this is your life. You only have so much time. I think you owe it to yourself to make as many experiences as you can enjoyable. You also owe it to yourself to like, not look back on experiences and like, regret not saying something. I think the amount of times that like, I haven't said something and like, I'm upset I didn't speak my mind are far greater than the times that like, you know, I was happy that I held my tongue. And so I think, right, I talked last episode with Luke about how I want to be more bold, and maybe that is in approaching guys, yes, but also in like, my friendships, also in just every relationship in my life, like with my parents, with my sister. And so, yeah, I guess like, advice wise, what I would say is like, just be more bold. Like, let's not live with regret. I think that is it for this episode of Prokogi Pod. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned something. And then always a reminder to check out our socials. And then also, Studio Modu and I have partnered. They are a content channel that is here to support Asian American creators and really tell our stories through their platform. And so please go ahead and give them a follow on Instagram, and then as well as subscribe on YouTube. And then for all the items I showed you guys today, I will have them linked below. But other than that, I am going to be in Asia. I'm going to Singapore and Korea with my family. And so look out for content there. I'm going to have a couple special episodes that I filmed there with my family. And so, yeah, look out for that. Okay, that's all. Bye-bye.